Thank you, Lord God, that we can sing out the truth today, that we're not what the world says. We're not even what we've spoken over ourselves this past week. We are children of the Most High King. That we are daughters of the King. We are co-heirs with Christ. We are chosen and accepted that we belong in your kingdom, Almighty God. And we are so grateful. We are so grateful that we can claim our identity today as your children. And we thank you, Father God, that that builds our faith. When we walk truly knowing who we are, when we can live loved and not rejected, when we can live with a purpose rather than wandering this world with no clue. So we are thankful, Father, for our identity in Christ and that our purpose that you have called us for such a time as this. So Lord, as we open up your word right now, we pray by your Spirit that you would open up our hearts and minds to receive your truths as we continue to learn how to grow our faith in you, Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome back to Women to Women. It's so good to see you all. Thank you to Gail for leading us in our notices today and the lovely Megan who led worship last night. Well, ladies, we are halfway through our six-week series, which just so happens to be our final series of 2023. Can you believe it? We are in the final series of 2023. It just seems like yesterday that I sat with the other Women to Women leaders and we discussed the vision for this year. And here we are in the end of the year. We're in November and we are moving forward and we are approaching Christmas. I think there was a buzzing noise. I don't know if it's coming off of that, but something else, is it? Right, okay. Can we maybe turn the volume down just a wee bit? Eva, it might be the volume. Just that button that we turned up earlier. That's great. So we'll continue just now. Hopefully that noise will dissipate. So we're in a six-week series. We're halfway through. We're looking at how to grow our faith. And so far in the series, we've looked at practical teaching. Not only listening to the Word of God, not only reading the Word of God, but applying the Word of God to our lives. That is what's going to help grow our faith. And I hope since last week that you've been finding new ways to enjoy the Word of God. We then moved on and we looked at relationships and how relationships can build our faith. I wonder if you've been considering those relationships in your life, continuing to give thanks to God for those people in your life that have helped you grow your faith, but keeping our eyes wide open to who God might have brought into our life, whom we have to encourage in the faith. One of the ladies last night said that her and her friend from Woman to Woman are no longer going to call each other besties. They're now going to call each other provies because it's providential relationship. I thought that was a check. But they're now calling each other provies because it's not just any old relationship that we're talking about here. We're talking about providential relationships. Those people that God has specifically brought into your life for a specific reason. And these relationships have enhanced our walk, their walk with Jesus. So that's where we've been so far. We're in week three this week, and it's gone very well this week at other two sessions. So this morning, the last session of the week, we're going to look at session number three, which is private discipline. Discipline. It's not a word that we like to hear, is it? It's not one of those joy-filling words, is it? We think of discipline, and we immediately think of hard work. When you see that word discipline, you think, oh. In fact, quite often it comes with a sigh, doesn't it? Discipline, oh, here we go. What am I going to have to shed? What am I going to have to do? What effort am I going to have to put in? So with a show of hands, who would say that they're very disciplined? No show of hands. I've put in here good for you if somebody actually did raise their hands, but we're all being very honest this morning. Okay, think about it in your life. Have you ever been on a health kick? Oh, yeah. Or you've ever decided to take up a particular sport or a hobby? And what you did was you went out and you bought the Pilates for Beginner DVD. Okay, you don't buy DVDs anymore, but you went out and you bought the Pilates for Beginners DVD, or you happened to go to the bookshop just to buy that keto recipe book so that you could try the keto diet and all the different recipes. Or perhaps, as one lady shared last night, it was crochet for beginners. Or you've tried something new and you've sat at home with your cup of coffee and you've pressed play on the DVD for Pilates for Beginner and you've sat there on the sofa and you've watched it. And you've thought, I could maybe do that. But you're not actually doing it because that takes discipline. How many of us have bookshelves filled or DVD shelves filled with these kind of things? I thought I would try it. I thought I would get into baking. I've done that, went out, bought all the trays, bought an apron, a couple of failed banana loaves during lockdown, and I've no more room to store all this stuff, so I had to go to the charity shop. Discipline. Another word that comes alongside discipline quite often is motivation. What is it about discipline that turns us off? What is it about that word discipline that makes you immediately want to sigh? Well, as I've said already, it's because we think of hard work when we think of discipline. I mean, look at the Oxford Dictionary definition of what discipline is. It takes you right back to school. Practice of teaching people to obey rules or a code of behavior. I mean, I loved school, I did. But if you didn't enjoy school and you read that, you immediately want to shut off. You're like, I'm a 45-year-old woman, or I'm a 50-year-old woman, or a 60-year-old woman. I don't want to obey rules anymore. I've done enough obeying rules. Maybe that's how you feel this morning. I mean, it doesn't sound too pleasant. It sounds maybe even a bit boring, a little bit of hard work. Well, that's session 3. In our teaching of how to grow our faith, that we want to be like these heroes and heroines of the faith and grow big, bold, strong faith. We know through the practical teaching and through providential relationships, and now we're hearing it's through private discipline. And right now you're maybe thinking, okay, I quite like the first two. The next two are even better, by the way. But you're maybe thinking, this one's not going to be for me. That one last week, all about relationships, I get it, I love it, I'm praying to God and asking God to show me those relationships, but private discipline, I'm just going to switch off today. I'm just going to have a wee rest or think about what I'm going to cook for my dinner tonight. No, ladies, can I encourage you, stay with me today? Because if you really capture this, private discipline could change your life. It could transform your life, and it will increase your faith in God. So how many of us here started off trying something, like some of those things maybe that I've mentioned, or something different? Perhaps it was some kind of training or fitness technique or education, and you started off with it, and you thought to yourself, this is going to be hard work. This is going to take effort. I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed. And that's how you felt at the beginning. But by the end of it, you absolutely loved it. Raise your hands if that's ever happened to you. That you started off something, you thought this is going to take hard work. But in time, it got better. So shout out some of the things. Caroline, you had your hand up there. Skiing. Okay. That takes a lot of practice. That takes a lot of discipline and a lot of falling on your bum. Yeah, anybody else? Somebody over here? Shout out something that you started and it was hard work. Gardening, that was one that came up last night. But the lady was absolutely joyous as she was sharing about her love for gardening. Right, one over here. Singing, fantastic. Yeah, that takes practice. You need to warm up your voice and there may be overcoming nerves and things like that in the beginning. But the more you practice it, the more you dedicate your time and your effort to it, you find out that it's actually become something that you really love and that you really enjoy. So I'm hoping today to convince you that a little bit of discipline, a little bit of effort, a little bit of encouragement, and you will begin to enjoy private discipline. But before we look at what private discipline actually is, my example that I've been sharing all week is a fitness-related one. Nobody really likes fitness, let's be honest. It is something that you have to sort of get your mindset in the right zone, don't you, before you can do it. And I used to love Zumba. There's a few Zumba teachers in the room actually this morning. And I used to love Zumba, and I would do it, and I would do it with this big smile on my face. And then I got a few injuries, which meant I couldn't do it anymore. Just a year ago, I'd been doing it for 9 years or so. I was devastated, and I thought, what am I going to do? So my daughter, Madeline, she says, okay, Mum, she says, you're going to need to find a fitness technique that's not going to hurt those aches and pains that you've got. So she says, I'm going to take you along to my spin cycle class. Horror. Horror on my face. Because here's the thing, I go to the gym, so I see these nutcases coming out the spin cycle. I see them. For a start, they enter a dark room. It's pitch black. And I'm all about the light, so I'm thinking, I'm not going in a dark room when I don't know what I'm going into. The other thing is, I can hear somebody shouting and screaming at them, and I'm thinking, that's a bit scary. And then I've seen them come out, various shades of purple. Not a bead of sweat, a bucket of sweat pouring off of them, and I thought, no way, this is not for me. But Madeline says, Mum, if you want to keep this, maintain some form of fitness and healthy heart and all of that, Mum, you need to find something. So I thought, okay, I'll go with you. I was dreading it. I hated it. I hated every minute of it. I came out of the class. I couldn't get down the stairs. My legs were like jelly. And I don't mind telling you, ladies, but for 3 days, I could not get on and off the toilet seat. It was sheer agony. Agony. But I knew, deep within my heart, I knew that if I didn't do something, then I was going to pay the consequences of that. I wasn't going to have a healthy mind and a healthy heart and a healthy body. So I persevered, ladies. And I pushed past that pain barrier. And I attended those classes, even without Madeline. I started to go along. And it's been a year. And I've been going 3 times a week for a year. And I am so proud of myself. But let me tell you something. It took a lot of hard discipline. It was painful. It took effort. It takes my time. Sometimes I have to go to the 6:30 class in the morning so that I can do all the rest of my chores for the day. It takes discipline, but it is so worth it. So we're not looking at fitness today, you'll be pleased to hear, but we praise the Lord indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're looking at private spiritual discipline. Of course we are. These are the things that we do privately. These are the things that we apply to our daily lives. Did you hear that? Daily lives, not just on a Sunday, but every day of our life. Now, here's the thing. You can do a lot of these things corporately. And there are a lot of benefits and rewards for doing them. Come in, sweetheart. Doing them corporately. But we're looking at private discipline today and the benefits of private discipline and how it grows our faith. So I'm going to go through a list of several things that you can add to your daily walk with God. So the first one being reading your Bible. That's private discipline. It takes discipline. It's part of our private discipline. We've already talked at great length about the importance of the Word of God. We looked at that when we looked at practical teaching, not only reading the Word, not only listening to the Word, but you can add to that your private discipline, journaling. Who likes to journal? Yeah, a few people that like to journal. That is private discipline. That's when you read the Word and you pause and you ponder and you reflect and you think and you ask those questions. What is God speaking to me? And then you write them down, and you write your thoughts down. And then the thoughts might actually form a prayer. And those prayers you might write in your journal. That's journaling. It's also meditating. Meditating on the Word of God. So meditating on the Word of God, journaling, reading and listening to the Word of God, and applying it to your life. This is all private discipline. It's something that we do daily in our lives, or we're encouraging you do daily in life. So we've talked about that already at length. Then there's prayer. How's your prayer life? How often do you pray? Do you pray throughout the day? Do you pray in the morning? Do you pray in the evening? Do you have a set list of prayers that you pray? So prayer is one. Then they've got praising God. Who loves to praise God? Amen. Listening to Christian music. Listening to what we call worship music. Taking communion. You know, taking communion, it's not just to be done here on a Sunday or at your own church on a Sunday, but you can have communion on your own. You know, if you're going through stuff and you're thinking, I really need to be with Jesus today, I really need him to know that I'm here and I want him to be present and I need to share my burdens with him and there's something going on in my life right now. I'm not suggesting you do it every day, but maybe when there's something going on, you might want to pull up a chair in your kitchen, a little bit of bread and some Ribena, and you can sit there with Jesus and you can have communion. Yes, it's something that we do corporately. In fact, as a family, the Orr family, there's a certain points in the year where we come together as a family, the five of us, and we have communion together. There's also certain times that there'll be times in Gordon and I's walk together when we've had a few arguments in a particular week. So to stop that and to change the atmosphere and to break it, we'll sit down as a couple, as a married couple, and we'll have communion together. So there are benefits to doing it corporately, but you can also have communion privately. You can spend time on your own around that table of remembrance, serving God. Now, there's beauty in serving together in partnership. There are many wonderful spiritual partnerships within the church. We see it in the Bible. There was wonderful spiritual partnerships, but you can also serve God on your own, and a lot of what you do, other people might not even know, but God sees it. He sees what is done in private. Tithing, giving, that is all part of private discipline. So we are talking here, if we were to sum all of this up in one word, what this private discipline is, well, of course, it's worship, isn't it? It's worship. This private discipline, practicing that private discipline, what we're basically doing is we are worshiping God. When you're praying, when you're reading your Bible, when you're having communion, when you're serving, you are showing God, you're expressing to God how grateful you are. You're telling him in these moments when you're praising him that he is worth it, that he is worth the worship, that he deserves the glory and the praise, that you're serving others because he would want you to serve others. You're praying because you know that you can't do life without that communication with him. It is all worship. I heard last week a woman was being interviewed and she said that praise is a sound. It's a sound. We've got a couple of worship people in, Holly and Lorraine are in today, and Kirsty, the worship singers. Praise is a sound that rises up from within us. And it's a noise. It can be a shout. It could be a melody. It's a song. It rises up within us, and we sing it out, and we say, God, you are good. God, you are great. That's what we're doing when we're praising God. Worship, she said, is an aroma. It fills the nostrils of God the Father. When we praise him, an aroma is let off, and it fills the temple. It fills the sanctuary. It's wonderful. Praise is a noise, and worship is an aroma. And all of these things that we've mentioned in this list, they are all worship. It's all practices that we're encouraging that we apply to our daily lives so that we can worship God. And when we spend time in worship with God, it will grow your faith. It will stretch your spiritual muscle. So praying, reading your Bible, meditating on the word, praising God, listening to worship music, serving, tithing. It can all be done corporately, but there are benefits to doing it privately and daily, not just once a week. And we need to nurture them and grow them in their time with God, and He will help us to do that. But of course, it all takes time. It all takes attention. You need to invest in it. And maybe you're here today and you're thinking, right now, that's a lovely list you've just given us, Debbie. Lovely list there. But you see, I've got another list. I've got what's called a to-do list. And my to-do list, well, it's even longer than that list of private discipline practices that you've given us. And here's the thing. I don't know if I've got time for that list that you've just given us today. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking to yourself, I mean, take prayer, for instance. I don't have time to do all that praying, that my life is really busy right now, and I don't know if I've got time to add in even more prayers, Pastor Debbie. Well, let me tell you something. If you are here today, and that is what your heart is saying right now, that you're not sure because of your to-do list that you've got more time for prayer, then can I suggest that you're the very one that needs it? You're the very one that needs it. Because this stuff is what's going to keep us alive in Christ. This stuff is what's going to keep us refreshed. This stuff's going to revive our soul. This stuff is going to keep us connected to the source. This is what's going to grow our faith. And if your desire was to have this big, bold, strong faith, then my encouragement today is together, and I'm speaking to myself as well here, let's practice private discipline. So what is it that holds us back from investing in it? Well, as we've said, it may appear like hard work. You maybe didn't like school. And you may be thinking, that's just more stuff to read. It's like studying. Maybe that's your approach to the Bible right now. Can I encourage you that it's so much more than that? There's life in those words, in those pages. So I've mentioned that private discipline there, it's about worship. And we don't have time to go into them all individually today. I wish we did have time, but we don't. So we're going to look at two this morning, two that we've already mentioned. But can I just remind you that His word is a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. And we need to apply what we heard in session number one of how to grow our faith through practical teaching, because the word of God is alive. It is His living words, and it will stretch and grow your faith. So I encourage you to keep on reading your word. Keep on finding new ways to read it. Change your translations. Use a Bible app. You can do target Bible reading. So if you're going through stuff, specific stuff, how to look after your finances, then there's apps and devotions that you can actually choose that speak about that. If you're going through health issues, there's devotions, daily devotions that you can do that speak into your situation. If it's a relationship stuff that's going on in your life, if it's pain, if it's grief, if it's anxiety or depression, you can target your Bible study reading, your daily devotional reading, to what's going on in your life. How good is that? That you can speak and you can read words that are specific to what you're going through right now. Because there's devotions for it. There's devotions that are specific to women. There are Bible study Bibles specific to women and women's needs and concerns. There's even devotions on these apps that talk about going through the menopause and the perimenopause as women. And you can speak scripture over your hormones every day. How good is that? It's wonderful. So it's all out there for us today. It's all out there. So go and seize it. Find the stuff that fits for you. Get your nose in the Word of God. So have I convinced you that this discipline stuff is actually going to work out really good, and there are many, many benefits to it. I mean, just take finances for a start. When we're struggling with our finances, we worry, don't we? And we stress. But when we start to spend less and then spend more time with Jesus, we worry less. But that takes discipline, doesn't it? To stop spending the money on the shoes and the new coat and the makeup and actually spending more time with Jesus instead. But the result of that, spending time with Jesus, investing in him and not in clothes and shoes and bags or whatever, it relieves our stress. So a wee bit of effort goes a long way. So let's turn to scripture now, Matthew chapter 6. We've heard already in this series that Jesus was giving a very detailed sermon, a lot of teaching in this sermon, a lot of practical teaching for godly living, the Sermon on the Mount. And in the middle of this teaching, he happens to mention two spiritual disciplines that we can apply to our daily lives: giving and prayer. So let's read it together. Matthew chapter 6. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Amen. That's the first point. The second one is prayer. Verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling on like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Amen. Praise be to God. Two spiritual disciplines here: giving and prayer. Now, what I love about Jesus, and he's been teaching us this all year at Women to Women, if you've noticed, is he's teaching us to be different. We've heard this all year. In fact, we've heard this over the last 17 years at Women to Women, that we've been called to be different, that we're not the same as out there. We're not to live the same. We're not to act the same. We're not to respond the same. We're not to speak the same. We're different. We've been called to be set apart. And here, he's showing us clearly how to live that is different from other people. He's saying, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't behave like them. Instead, this is how to live. You know, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, is all about godly living, and this is how to live. And there's great truths in that. When you grow your faith, apply these truths to your life. And here he's saying, this is the way to live, guys. Not like the hypocrites, but this is the way to live as a child of God. So the first one that he tackles there is giving. Now, giving is not just tithing. There's charitable giving. I mean, you know, many of you will tithe. Hopefully all of you will tithe. And then there's charitable giving. And then there's giving to needs. Many of you are giving to various needs within the church right now. There's a selection box appeal to the Sewing Together Christmas gifts for the refugee ladies and families. And we're so very, very grateful for all of those donations to our pantry. All these things go a long, long way and show people that we love them. It's love in action. So it's not just tithing. Can I make a point about tithing, though? You see, tithing is not the church just wanting your money. You know, we maybe mention tithing, or it's tithing is preached. You know, we don't talk about tithing or request tithing because we want your money. Now, yes, of course, we need to pay the heating and the staff and all of that, and we're obviously grateful for that. But actually, when we talk about tithing, when we preach about tithing, and it isn't preached very often, it's because we want the church to be blessed. Because the Bible says that you will be blessed. It's another commandment. It's another spiritual discipline. You will be blessed if you tithe. You know, people say every now and again when tithing is preached or mentioned, there's always someone who'll say, that's just a money-grabbing sermon. They just want our money. We don't want your money. We want you to be blessed. And usually the ones that grumble and complain about that type of sermon are actually the ones that aren't giving. It's the ones that actually aren't tithing. And that's why they're grumbling, because they're not blessed. But see, the ones that are actually tithing, they're not grumbling because they're blessed. We tithe because it's a commandment of God, but we tithe because we're blessed. When we give to the Lord, when we give to the kingdom of God. You know, my kids will joke when they put their tithe through. They'll say, oh, that's mum's wages paid for another month. And I'll say, it's a joke. Of course it's a joke. But I'll say, no, girls, you're giving to the kingdom of God. And God will bless you. He'll bless you for it. So did you notice there what Jesus says, when you give? He doesn't say if you give, or if you feel like it, or if you're a wee bit more flushed. He says, when you give. When you give to the needy. Now, in looking at disciplines, we've already said that it can appear like hard work. It requires our time. It requires our effort. It's discipline is required. And you can say to yourself right now, yeah, I get that. I'm quite happy to maybe get up another 20 minutes early in the morning and pray. Yeah, I get that. I might need to maybe spend a wee bit more time in my private discipline with my Bible and all the rest of it. But wait a wee minute here. Giving my hard-earned cash, that's a sacrifice too far. Maybe that's what you're thinking. I worked 40 hours last week, and now you're adding to this list of things that I have to give up and sacrifice my hard-earned money. Do you know how hard that I actually worked last week for every single one of those pennies? Yes, I do know how hard you worked. But do you know what else also that I know? That money does not belong to you. The earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it. That job that you do, those opportunities are God-given. He is the one that gives you the strength. He is the one that blesses you to do it. He is the one that gives you the opportunities. It belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. It's His anyway. And that is actually so freeing. Especially right now, if you're not enjoying your job, or you're not enjoying Jim that sits across the bench from you or the desk from you, because actually you're not there for Jim. You're there for God. When we're having a bad day at work and you think, oh, I don't know if I can cope with another day in this place, you're not there for them. You're there for God. Do it for Jesus. Everything we do is for Him. It changes our perspective. And it changes our perspective on giving also. Jesus says, when you give, He also says, do it in private. You know, we're not dancing down the aisles waving our £50 note. I had to clarify last night because I was talking about giving the £50 note, and I had to say, that's not a parable, by the way. You're not going to find that, the man who gave the £50 note. But what we were talking about last night was the fact that when we give, we don't do it so that others can see. We do it in private. It's a private discipline. It's only important between us and God. Look at the lady in the Bible, the widow that came. Just a couple of brown coins. No, she never had the amount that everybody else was putting in, but she put in more because God saw what she put in. And she gave everything that she had. All right, it was a small amount in comparison to the rest, but she gave everything. They might have gave their £50 note, but they might have had another 17 £50 notes in their back pocket. She gave from her heart. She gave all that she could because she believed that God deserves everything. He deserves everything. So Jesus is saying, when you give. And here's the thing, and it tells us then in the passage, we're not to be like the hypocrites. We're to give when we give. And we're to do it privately so that it is seen by our Father. They'll get their rewards, those that are, you know, wandering about with a £50 note in their hand, waving it about for everybody to see. They will get their rewards. It will be their earthly rewards. But God sees what you do in private, and He will reward you. Now, you may be thinking right now, no, I don't want a reward. That might make you feel uncomfortable. You might be thinking, I get that it's worship. I get that it's because I love Jesus. So I don't need a reward. There's no reward needed, God, because I just love you. And if you never did anything for me, I just know that I'm saved and that is enough. And I get that. I feel like that too. But actually, the Father loves you. You're his child, and he wants to reward you, and he will reward you for your discipline. That's what the passage is saying. You will be rewarded, and it might not be monetary. It might be. It might be. I've given before, and I've got immediately back financially. It might be a financial reward, but it also might be a deeper peace. It might be a joy unexplainable. It might be just the joy in seeing that person that you've blessed be blessed. That in itself is a reward. He who blesses others in turn will be blessed themselves. He who refreshes others will be refreshed themselves. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Father wants to reward you for your sacrifice. And what he wants to reward you with will far outweigh any earthly reward, I promise you. So the second discipline Jesus mentions is prayer. And again, it can be done privately, it can be done publicly. There are benefits to both. When we come away and we shut the door and we invest time praying to the Father. Now, we don't pray to God because we need to inform him of what's going on. He's God Almighty. He is supreme being, okay? And he knows exactly what's going on. He knows beginning, middle, and end. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. We also don't pray to him and tell him he's worthy and tell him he's great because he's got an ego problem. That is not the case either. We come to God and we spend time in his presence and we pray because he loves to spend time with us. He loves the intimacy with us. He loves it when you speak to him, and he wants to speak to you. He wants to hold you in these moments. He wants to share beautiful secrets with you in these moments. He wants to build your faith in these moments. It builds our trust. In these moments when we come to pray to God, we're prioritizing him over everything else. We're prioritizing him over that to-do list. We're prioritizing him and we're saying, you are my Father and I am your child and I can't do this life without you and I wouldn't want to. But it takes time. It takes discipline. You'll have to come away from Netflix in order to do it. But like with giving, Jesus says the Father will reward you and it will be in ways that you cannot imagine. Ultimately, though, applying these spiritual disciplines to our lives builds our faith. It stretches our spiritual muscle. I mean, just think about it. You pray today for something, and then next week you see it answered. Hallelujah. Does that not just build your faith? Or maybe you've prayed for something for years. Years and years you've persevered in prayer, and the Bible talks about perseverance and endurance in prayer. And then that prayer gets answered, and you stand there in awe. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised, but we are. We stand there in awe, and you say, I know that my Redeemer lives because you prayed and he answered. That builds your faith. Spending time in prayer with God also helps you to discern his voice. Yes, he will speak to you in various ways, through signs and wonders, pictures and visions. That builds faith. God revealing himself to you through prayer. Now, I just want to say, because we're highlighting the benefits to private prayer does not mean that we will just not bother with the corporate prayer. Okay, corporate prayer is equally as important. And I encourage you, whatever church you go to, if your church has a prayer meeting, then please get yourself along to the prayer meeting. You might not be able to make it every week, but if you're at home and you can make it that night or that morning, why not go along? Why not make a little bit of effort? Why not be disciplined in this area in your life? It will help to grow your faith. When you hear other people praying, it builds your faith. I spend a lot of time in prayer with other people. And let me tell you something. It encourages me. It inspires me. We have a Monday night prayer meeting here at 7 p.m. in the hall. We have a morning prayer meeting at 9:30 on a Wednesday morning called Abide. And I love being with the other members of the body of Christ, men and women, as we come together and we pray together. It takes effort. You could be somewhere else. It's going to take an hour of your life to sit there. You're going to pray for other people. Yes, we'll pray for you. Yes, you can pray for yourself. But the majority of time, we're there to pray for others. But boy, does it stretch your faith. And then we come back the following week and we say, any updates? And you say, this has been answered. That's been answered. 2 weeks ago, we were in Abide. And we prayed for usually about 20 things on the board, usually. 20 things. By the time I'd come out of Abide and opened my office and had a cup of coffee, 3 of those prayers had been answered. 3. By the end of the weekend, another one was added to that. Praise be to God. That builds your faith. Prayer. Investing in prayer builds your faith. So all of these things we can do privately. The communion, the prayer, the praising God. Yes, praising God. We all put our hands up when we said we love to praise, but it doesn't need to be just for a Sunday. If you're going through some stuff in your life right now, can I encourage you when you go home today, if you've got a bit of peace and quiet in the house, crank up the tunes. Put on the worship music. Sing your way out of the storm. Worship will take you out of worry and it will lead to breakthrough in your life. You can do this privately. So what do you think God might be speaking to you today in relation to private discipline? Is there an area of worship that you might find more difficult than others, but Lord would want you to explore it, put in a little more effort, be disciplined? Are you finding it difficult to be motivated right now? Ask the Lord by the power of His Spirit to help you to get into worship. Is there a particular area of worship that after hearing about this today that you're thinking, do you know what, I'm going to give that a try. I'm actually going to get serious with prayer. I'm going to set deadlines. I'm going to put a reminder on my phone. I'm going to try new positions in prayer. I'm going to go on my knees if I can. I'm going to lie out. I'm going to spend some time listening to some worship music, some soaking music. I'm going to give that a go. I'm going to give that a go. The next time God nudges me maybe to give to somebody in need, I'm going to do it. I'm going to step out. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to give my money, my hard-earned cash. I'm going to give it. I'm going to ask Him for an amount. Ask Him for an amount. How much do you want to give? How much should I give that beggar on the street, Lord? How much do you want me to give them? Just pause for a moment. You'll be surprised. It might be odd. They might say £1.56. They might need £1.56. That might be their bus fare. And they might turn round to you and say, by the way, that's £1.56. I needed that because that's my bus fare back to wherever I came from. Does that not build your faith? When you just go, wow, God told me to give you £1.56. Or you give somebody £40 and they turn round and they say, how did you know? And you go, what? How did you know? I don't know. I just got a bill yesterday. I just got a bill. I just got a heating bill. I got a phone bill. I got this bill or whatever, a rent bill. I didn't have the money to pay for it. It's £40. It's exactly £40. And you've just handed me £40. You've blessed that person. You've blessed the socks off them. They're able to pay their bill. In that moment, they believe that their Redeemer lives. And if they don't believe in their Redeemer, they're starting to think, maybe there's something in this. But you, as you stand there, your faith is going through the roof in that moment because you're like, oh my goodness, God told me. Don't leave here today thinking this is all about money. It's not. It's about worship. It's about spending time in prayer daily. It's about fasting. Can I add that to prayer? That takes sacrifice. I'm not good at it. I confess. Not good at it. I do it. I find it hard. I get lightheaded. I like to eat. I'll confess to you. I find fasting hard, but I do it. I do it. I do it when I need to. I do it when there's something really important that I need to pray about. Fasting, praying, reading your Bible, journaling, meditating on the Word, having communion, serving, giving. Private discipline. So is there an area that you're going to try out? Is there something new? You're going to change things up? Do you want to grow your faith? Then can I encourage you to to open your heart to some of these practices today. Try some new things. And will you come back and will you share with me how it's going? And if you're finding it difficult, if there's something that you want to try but you'd like some prayer for, you know, the team are always here to pray for you at the end of a session. We'd be happy to pray for you. So I'm going to finish now. We're finishing up early this morning, but I'm going to finish now with a verse that I hope blesses you. It's from Psalm 94, verses 12 and 13. And I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified Bible. Blessed. Everybody say blessed. Blessed with wisdom and prosperity. There's the rewards there. Blessed with wisdom and prosperity is the woman whom you discipline and instruct, O Lord, and whom you teach from your law, that you may grant her power to calm herself and find peace in the days of adversity. Don't you love it? Amen. Blessed with wisdom and prosperity and peace is the one that you discipline, O Lord. So, Father God, we're asking that you discipline us. We ask you, Father God, that you give us a teachable spirit. We're asking Almighty God that you would increase our faith through spending time in worship, because, Lord God, we acknowledge today that you deserve all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. You deserve to be worshipped because you are our Redeemer and you live and you are Almighty God, and we want to worship you in spirit and in truth. So, Father God, would you help us to set aside time. Help us, Father God, to stop battling and competing with the world, Father God, for time. Lord God, release us into precious time with you. Find new ways for us, Father God, to get creative in our communication with you, Lord God. We want to see you. We want to hear you, Lord God. We want you to reveal yourself to us in greater and more powerful ways, Father God. We want to know your voice and hear your voice and walk in the way that your voice would lead us, Father God. So, Father, we want this in our life. We want to engage in these spiritual disciplines because we've heard today that there are so many wonderful rewards for doing so. We've just heard in that passage there, wisdom and peace and prosperity is a reward, Father God. A calm mind, oh Lord, we need it, we want it. So help us, Lord God, if there's any areas of our life where we're struggling, we're maybe struggling to read our Bible right now, or we're reading it but we're just not taking it in, we're not digesting it, Lord. Would you open it up, Lord, to us? Would you reveal your truths to us in it, Lord God? For you deserve all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. Lord, we're just so thankful for this series, Lord. Father, I know at the beginning I was concerned because I felt, Lord, that it was too simple. Going back to the basics. Much of this stuff, Lord, we already know. Many of us have been walking with you for a long, long time. Lord, I'm so grateful for the picture that you gave to Grace, Father, that you're giving us five ways to grow our faith. But what you revealed, Lord, is that you're giving us five courses to eat, because you want us to eat and digest. And it may be a meal that we've had before. It may be our favorite meal, in fact. But Lord God, you want us to enjoy it once again. So Lord God, help us to take, to taste and see that you are good. So help us to apply these beautiful principles to our life, Father God, so that we may nurture and develop a closer relationship with you day by day. And in turn, Lord God, that you would bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us. Be gracious to us now. Turn your face towards us, Lord, and grant us your peace now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, thank you. We've reached another end of a week at Women to Women. We've had a fantastic week together. Going by the numbers today, we've seen well over 100 women this week, so that's fantastic. Whatever you're doing this weekend, may you truly, truly be blessed. Have a great Sunday worshipping, wherever it is you're going to worship this Sunday. If you're not in a church, then you're welcome to join us here at 11 o'clock on Sunday. And we shall meet again next week at Women to Women, Tuesday at 7, Thursday at 7, and Friday at 10. Goodbye and God bless.